For people who didn't dare express themselves or cry or have needs when they were kids, it can be a hard road growing up and learning to be in a relationship for real. You were trained that your true feelings were unspeakable, so you kept quiet. You wanted more love or attention, and that felt shameful. And so you've learned to pretend that you need nothing. And the cost of this is that people with too little to give you get to be in your life at all. And the ones you really love, you risk losing, because to them, it feels like you don't care. My letter today is from a woman I'll call Bonnie, and she writes, "Dear Anna, I'm 57. I'm 2 months out of a relationship that I thought was my forever person, and I'm devastated. I want him back, but I'm not sure if he is good for me. All right, I've got my fairy pencil. I'm going to circle things I want to come back to on Bonnie's letter." All right, and let's see what's going on with Bonnie's story here. "My CPTSD is in full gear, and I spend my days and nights obsessing on how to get him back. He has some amazing qualities. Those are the only ones I seem to be ruminating over. But there were some confusing times too. And these are the ones where I question myself and need your help. A bit of background. I've had a lot of abuse and neglect in my childhood. I was the unwanted fifth and last child in an alcoholic home. I spent the first 2 years of my life alone and sick in the hospital." Oh my gosh. That's serious. Wow. "My father was a rageaholic who was extremely emotionally and mentally abusive with a constant threat of violence. My mom was the one who did most of the physical abuse." Oh, goodness. Oh, Bonnie, this is terrible. "I was abused by a relative when I was pre-verbal, as were my three sisters. I also was abused a few other times as well, but I'm quite detached about that. My parents left me for long periods of time, punished in my room for the smallest of transgressions. I used to fall asleep with my ear on the vent on the floor just to try to feel some sort of connection with the world. I wet my bed nightly, so when I woke up every morning, I was filled with dread because I knew I would be punished with either violence or isolation." Oh, goodness. "I lived like a plant, quiet and still. Don't laugh, don't cry, don't get angry or else. I knew staying quiet was key to my survival." All right. You certainly have insight about yourself. "My pattern in relationships is so predictable. Meet a guy, fall in love, don't have any feelings or needs, just be hyper-focused on fulfilling their needs, never get angry, don't speak up, and life will be great. Until it isn't. Eventually, I get so tired of feeling invisible, I leave. Rinse, repeat. This last fellow, same deal. There were so many things I loved about him. We moved in together early. He told me I could buy into his house, that we would be equal decision makers regardless, and that we would pool our resources. Then when I got there, none of that happened. He changed his mind and never told me. The house we were in was his family home, so when his adult kids came home, he would check with them as to what color to paint the walls, where to put the furniture, etc. Their choices trumped mine, even though they didn't live there. I felt so unimportant and unseen, even though I often never told him. He could also be very controlling. He would interrupt me constantly when I was talking to talk over me, and mostly prioritized his own feelings and needs without considering mine. I'm still so hung up on all the good things about him, and there was a lot. I just can't let go. I can't help but think if only I spoke up more, tried to negotiate my needs instead of staying quiet and ignoring them, it would have worked." It's possible you're right. Okay. "Also, with him keeping our lives so separate, I felt very vulnerable in the house, knowing I was in with both feet, but he didn't seem to be. I just can't seem to let go, and I'm suffering a lot as a result. I'm still hoping he reaches back out to tell me he wants to work things out, but with each passing day, I'm doubting that more and more. Thoughts?" Okay, Bonnie, yes, I have thoughts. So a lot of times I'm helping people realize that a relationship is no good and that they've already been left when they're pining away for somebody. But sometimes that's not my impression. I think that you have hit the nail on the head, that it's quite possible that if you had expressed yourself, if you had told him what bothers you about the paint and the kids, and if you had told him how you really feel and let him know when you were hurt, he would have had a chance to talk to you about it. You know, it concerns me that you say that he was also very controlling, that he would interrupt you constantly and talk over you, and mostly prioritized his own feelings and needs without considering mine. And I would just say that if you're not expressing your feelings and needs, is it possible you were expecting him to just know? You know, they call it mind reading. But if you couldn't express it, how was he to know? And if you were being meek and not speaking up and just be quiet and there won't be trouble, I mean, you described yourself that way. Was it perhaps easy for him to do the talking and not really hear that you were trying to talk? There are conversations perhaps that you might have had, and perhaps it's not too late to have that conversation, to apologize for leaving without working this out and asking if you can talk about this and maybe get the help of a couples counselor to help give you space to express yourself, which I know is hard for you. It's going to feel very vulnerable. It might be kind of like the foot's too much on the gas, the foot's too much on the brake. You know, you might be rusty at expressing yourself. It's not something you really ever got to develop. And so to have the conversation with him and say, hey, it really bothered me when you used to interrupt me all the time, and just give him a chance to talk about that, where he's coming from. And if he says, well, who cares what you think? You know, I'll say whatever I want. Okay, well, then he is controlling. But maybe he just didn't know. And that's certainly a possible dynamic. I'm so impressed with you, Bonnie, that you are able to carry on at all. What you went through is just terrible. Getting locked in your room for having needs. So that's a lot to overcome. And I'm so glad you're here and sending this letter in, because I can just see you're sort of like opening the barn door to like really moving forward with your healing. And it doesn't all happen automatically. Some of it does. Some stuff happens automatically when you give it a little help by doing something structured about it. And that is what therapists offer. That is what my program offers. We have, you know, I have courses and an online community. So you have tools and friends. But so often traumatized people are just like chipping away. They're like in the coal mine of their own heart, you know, trying to dig their own tunnel. And it's too much all by yourself. And we need perspective from other people. If we're friends with other people who were traumatized too, like any one of us might make bad decisions alone, but together we're pretty good at detecting what's going on, especially if you can be with people who are working on their healing. Like in my community, sometimes new people come in and they're so used to other types of healing approaches where they lead with stories about the past. You know, they get lost in the story. And in my program, it's not forbidden to talk about the past, but we don't really expect the healing to happen through those conversations. It comes through tuning into what's happening right now. When do your trauma symptoms kick in and start undermining the way you communicate or stop you from communicating? And can you gently, slowly develop a new way of handling those moments so that you can come forward a little bit bravely and safely? And there is a way to do that. That's what we do. That's what we do. I think you might love it, Bonnie. If you are still thinking about this guy, you know, in some cases that's limerence, right? But that's not what I'm hearing here. Maybe it really does need a conversation. Maybe it's too late, in which case I'll be sad that this opportunity passed you, but at least you have more clarity now. And you're only 57. You still have your whole life ahead of you. there's a great future for people who can learn to work with their trauma symptoms and start to soften them and start to come through and communicate and be themselves. So I have very high hopes for you, Bonnie. I have so many free downloads and courses that would really be relevant to this situation. But the first thing I want to offer to you, Bonnie, is my daily practice course. These are these simple techniques that just help process the stuck emotions and thoughts. This is what happens. The injury of childhood trauma can make it very difficult to process your thoughts and feelings, and they get jammed up. And it's hard to know what's going on. It's hard to even know your own feelings sometimes. If you're doing the daily practice, it's a twice a day technique, and it can start to move those thoughts and feelings just downstream and give you space to learn to have new ideas, to express yourself, to cope with the feeling of mortification when you do express yourself and just all those old feelings come up. You need that. If you're going to start coming out of your comfort zone and testing the limits of how much you're able to communicate and show up, you need tools to find comfort and peace when it just feels like too much. I definitely believe in going slowly, titrating, we call it, when you're building up your ability to communicate and connect. If you do too much at once, it can be like, oh, it's just too much, and then you run back into your cocoon. So the object of the game here is to step out a little bit, express yourself, come back to your safe zone, maybe write a little bit. Oh, I feel like that was stupid. I shouldn't have done it. You release it. And then maybe the next day you'd come out a little further from your cave. And it works one step at a time. It can really work. So if you'd like to take that daily practice course, it's free. You can sign up for it right now. It takes less than an hour to learn and try the techniques. It's right there. And I will see you very soon.